I'm delighted to have tonight's our brother Leslie. So Leslie, if you want to come on ahead and bring us now a word of testimony to us here this evening. Thank you, brother. The whole way from the glen.
Well, good evening, everybody, brothers and sisters. As you can get from my accent, I'm not really from Lorne. I'm originally from Newry. I was born and bred in Newry. And lived there for 37 years. And brought up in a working class family. My family, my brothers and my father-in-law were all hard workers. You know, worked very hard. My father was a coal man. He did for John Kelly Limited. And he carried coal for many, many years. You know, it was over 30 years in the coal trade. So, I left school at, what age was I when I left school? 16 and left school. And somebody, it was a brother, somebody in my own, my brothers worked in a place in Newry called J.S. Fisher. They were the main timber and hardware department down in Newry. So they all worked down there, and my uncles also worked down in it. So I just was keen to leave school. Because, you know, I wasn't really good at school. Like, I was good at geography and things, that, you know, things like that. But at that time, you just wanted to get a job, you know. So I said there was a job going down there anyway. It was a job, a message boy. You don't hear message boys now. But my job entailed not only running messages, but weighing out nails in the shop and bolts and things like that, and keeping the shop stocked up for customers coming in. That was my job. So I got a job anyway. I got the job at 16. And that was back in 1975. So I was working there, and I was glad to get up every morning, just go to work. You know, get your boots shined, and you just look forward to it, and your lunchbox under your arm, and just go out and work like the rest of them, and just earn money. But at the time, the troubles were on. The troubles was at their height. But in the office where I worked, there was three UDR men worked in it. One was an officer, and two were lower rank. But I never saw the dangers. But I remember one of the man behind the counter who I worked with, he was the head of the staff. He was one of the men that wrote out the dockets. He was in the UDR. He said to me one day, he says, if you see a man coming through that door, he says, with a gun, he says, go and hide behind this table. Because they were attacking members of the security forces. A lot down around Newry, and there was a lot shot and injured. But I never thought nothing of it, because you were just doing your day's work. And I just, in 1976, I was working as normal. It was a Wednesday. I was weighing out nails for a customer. I remember the customer coming in. And I could hear a commotion at the door, and I didn't know what was going on. I thought somebody just was arguing with somebody. And the next thing, he looked up, and there was a man laying on the ground. I think it was a security guard. He had knocked him to the ground, and his gunman had come in. And the next thing, I just can't remember a lot about it, but he opened fire. And I remember him going to the there was an arm on the UDR, and he had the gun to his head, and he was cursing at him and swearing at him. And of course the man was shaking, he didn't know. But he turned round And the next thing, he fired at me. And the next thing, I'm laying on the ground, and obviously there was blood everywhere, and I was, apparently I was shot 8 times. And I still have a bullet in me, and it was taken out. Very seriously injured at the time, and taken to Daisy Hill. And I wasn't expected to live. And everybody was, most of the time, was the people that knew me were praying for me that I would pull through, you know. But I did pull through. And one of the main thing that the surgeons was worried about when I was injured was the blood wasn't getting down to my foot. And he says, if this doesn't work, he says, we're going to have to remove his leg. You know, take the leg off him because the blood's not getting down, and they're afraid of gangrene setting in. So anyhow, they decided to save the leg. They would have to remove the muscle from the back of the leg. So I had the muscle removed. That means when I walk now, I walk with a drop foot. It's fixed. It's fixed then, you see. As it works your muscle, as it works your toes and all, is your calf muscle. So anyway, I was about nearly a year between Daisy Hill Hospital and the rest of the convalescence spent in Newry General. So I lots of operations, and they had to get me up to walk. I also had a colostomy too, because my bowel had been injured. They took the bowel out to rest, and they said it would go back on its own, but I come home with the colostomy. I had it up to about 1987, and I got it reversed. Thank God I got it back, you know. But I got home anyway, pulled through, but my life wasn't the same, as you can imagine. It was, you know, I suffered terrible trauma over it, and as he started the drinking things he did when I got, you know, at myself, I was back at myself, I never worked because the job I was in, it contained lots of walking. You were really walking most of the day, and so I never worked since, you know. As he was compensated, what happened to me and that there, but and it doesn't pay for what you've been through, you know. And so I just carried on my own as best I could. And then somebody, there's a neighbour of mine, used to go to the Metropolitan Church in Newry. Albert McElroy, he's in his 90s now, he's still alive. And he took me over to hear Pastor McConnell over in the Metropolitan Church in Newry. And I gave my life to the Lord that night, 1991. Amen. And I just thank God that it was, as I say, a lot of trauma in my life, a lot of, you know, you're just not really right with yourself, if you know what I mean. You're not at peace because of what you've been through. And no, you can't tell nobody because nobody wants to really know. Because at that time there was no treatment for post-trauma, post-disorder, which soldiers would all get now. You just had to get on with life as best you could. And I'm just one of thousands in this province who have suffered the troubles, you know, and they've went through the same as I went through. But anyhow, I got saved anyway in 91. And I went on with the Lord, you know. I did backslide for a while, but I came back to the Lord. And I just give praise to him because he saved my life, you know. They said I shouldn't be here. I should be dead. But he saved me. And he not only saved me, he saved my life, because he's the giver of life and he is the taker of life. And I'm here because of his grace, and he's taken me through with himself. And a lot of suffering in my life, a lot of things, you know, went on. And you know, it's just to suffer the facts of these troubles, but that's my testimony anyway of how the Lord saved me. And you know, you could sit up here and you could end up giving a political speech and what you think the way things should have, you know, but it's sad the way things have went in this land, you know. It's just sad indeed. And I'm glad of a godly mother who was, you know, who reared us, and she was good, very good to me, you know, good to all of us. There were six of us. And when I got saved, my two sisters, they got saved, not shortly afterwards. Down in Kilkeel, they lived down in Kilkeel. They're elderly now, I'm the youngest. And so they got saved when they seen the change in my life, you know. But I'm just glad that, you know, that the Lord has, and I just want to give all glory to Him. I want to leave this wee scripture with you. It's not easy giving your testimony. You get very nervous, don't you? You know, you think you're going to say everything, but you just leave it in the hands of the Lord, because you don't know what you're going to say. I didn't write any notes down. I just says, Lord, I'm just going to say it as it is. I'm just going to give it raw and uncut. And I'm not going to give a life story. I'm just one of the victims of the troubles. And I'm just one of thousands. And it's just what I've suffered in my life. But I want to read from Romans 10. And verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has risen him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And, you know, if anybody who hasn't given their life to the Lord, I just urge you to think, to give it to him. Anyone listening online, maybe somebody who has suffered like myself and has had no hope and has had trauma in their life, that, you know, your worst day with Christ is better than your best day in the world, because he makes up the difference. And he's a wonderful Saviour. And if we walk with him, he will walk with us, and he keeps us. And he keeps me every day. And I just want to give him all the honour and the praise and the glory. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. As Leslie said during his testimony, it's the one thing that struck me when he was recounting his story to me some months ago, was the fact that, yes, the Lord preserved him. To have 8 bullets and still to have one hanging around is certainly not something your body is equipped to deal with. And yet he wasn't saved then. The Lord had a purpose for Leslie. No gunman was going to thwart the Lord's plan for this man. He preserved him and he saved him. And we rejoice, brother, that the Lord has kept you to this day. And you will continue. He that hath begun a good work in us will perform it, and he will perfect it until the day he takes us home. So keep our brother Leslie in prayer. I know he would love to be even at God's house even more often, but sometimes health and issues prevents him being here. So we're glad to have you tonight. I must say I was a little bit concerned in case he wouldn't make it today, but thankfully he did, brother. The Lord gave you strength, and we rejoice in that. So lovely to hear that. And we do pray the Lord will encourage you, brother, and use you in the years that lie ahead of you.